Man, I was wondering when they came back, I was thinking, I wonder if Brother Dan relapsed. And I was thinking, and if they're one flesh, then Sister Gina would probably have come back with that Bostonian accent. Praise God. But it's good to see them.
Amen.
You were missed.
Amen.
Praise God. And it's always good to see all the people of God. Thank you, Jesus. I have a few announcements I will be making again this afternoon, just as a reminder. We have been praying for revival services, and because of the schedule this month, I was hoping to schedule revival services this month, but we got pushed back to next month, February. And the dates are going to be, they're tentative, but it all depends on, what I hear back from Brother Wethy and Brother Craig. But the tentative dates for next month will be, it'll be 7 days. It will be either the 5th to the 11th or the 12th through the 18th. And once I can get a little bit more specific as far as when we will start, it will either be those 2 weeks. We will start on a Monday, go to a Sunday, and we will have Brother Luke Wethy, Brother Craig Marshall, and Brother David Marshall.
Wow.
Amen. So, but we're going to get things stirred up in the Holy Ghost, and we are going to have revival.
Amen.
And of course, it's been, I feel like there's been a witness to that with several people, so I know, you know, we're doing our best to do God's will, to pursue God's will. So that being said, that's what's going to be happening. Then we'll be announcing a little later on as far as the fundraising for the church for next month. So once Sister Melissa and Brother Rich are back here, we will present some dates as far as fundraising is concerned. Amen. We'll just keep the ball rolling. Keep things going. Keep seeking the Lord. It's all we can do. It's all we can do. Praise God. So I want you to be advised concerning that. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that we are here. Let's turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms 65. Hallelujah. I felt led to share last Wednesday, and praying about certain things, and then kind of just doing some searching in my heart, in my spirit, concerning God's will. And I was going to say I stumbled over some notes of a men's meeting dated back August 1st, 1984. That's a long time ago.
Amen.
But we were talking about our discussion. Brother Gerritsen was teaching us on revival. And, of course, the need for revival. We all need to be revived.
Amen.
We all need to be renewed.
Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
We all need to be restored.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. That's something that... praise God, I believe has to take place, because, you know, we are definitely always in a position of, amen, fighting. When I say fighting, I'm talking about spiritually. Fighting the fight of faith and striving in the spiritual. There's a lot of things that... amen, take place, and we all know that. We all go through certain things. We all experience adversity. We all experience temptation. We all experience trials. We even battle with ourselves. So on the front, there's usually the enemy is, you know, we always talk about the world being our enemy, which it is. And of course, our adversary, the devil, Satan, is our enemy. And of course, we ourselves, the enemy within. So on those three levels, on those three, in those three areas, you know, we struggle, we battle. It's every day. And I think all of us can honestly say this, that, amen, there's not a day that goes by when we don't struggle or we don't battle with either one of these elements, or maybe all of them. They just kind of just come and they try to do their best to beset us and set us back. But thank God that we have, amen, grace. And thank God we have the power of God on our side that we can overcome. That's the most important thing that we all need to understand, and praise God that we can use what God has given us, that what He's equipped us with. And as Paul said, we can do everything that we know to do to stand.
Right.
Amen. And so that's what will ensure us of our victory. And you think about what the scripture says. The Bible says, Paul said, we are made more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So we are more than conquerors. So always remember that. We should never settle for defeat, and we should never concede. In other words, we should never give in, throw in the towel, so to speak. We should always do our best to stand for the things of God, because that's important. Because you and I are definitely blessed to be here. Let's go to Psalms 65, as I said, and I will start with verse number 1. It says, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be made. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I'm always saying this, you hear me broadcasting this every now and then. It's a privilege to be here.
Yes.
Amen.
It's an honor to be here in the house of God.
Yes.
I don't say that just to, you know, just to get it off my chest. I say it because that's a fact. The reason why I say that is I understand what the Lord is doing for myself and for you, and that He has called us, He has chosen us.
Right.
And that's what the writer said. Blessed is the man, and I want to insert, or woman, whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Amen. So we're blessed to be called to come before Him.
Right.
To come before Him so that we can, amen, dwell in His courts, and we can be satisfied with His goodness, the goodness of His house and of His holy temple. So we're very blessed. We're very fortunate to be able to, amen, to receive that invitation. And, you know, you're thinking about it. When I was thinking about this, I was... The Lord started to lay this on my heart a day or so ago. And so I begin to listen, and I begin to yield myself so that I can, you know, get what He's what He was speaking to me in the direction that I should go. And here's the thought that came to me. Now listen to this. This is something. This is we never really realize it. Maybe we don't think about it. But here's a thought. Here's two words that I want to present to you this morning. What if? Doesn't sound relevant to what I'm speaking, but after I get done, you'll understand why. What if? What if what? What if we chose not to serve God?
Right. Right.
Praise God. Here's something about freedom. People talk about freedom. You know, they're speaking about freedom and liberty, all that, and basically all that is, when you know, and it's a loose translation, it's a broad definition. Liberty is just being able to do what you want to do without any restrictions. Praise God. Amen. So in other words, do what you feel in your heart to do, your will, your will. So when we take a look at that, you know, there's one thing that God has never really forced upon us, and that's, amen, the ability to serve Him. He left that up to you and I. He left that choice, that decision to you and I to serve Him. We could do it willingly. We can do it willingly. There's not going to be any constraints that are placed upon us to serve Him. We can walk with Him. We can fellowship with Him. We could talk with Him. Praise God. We could have a relationship with Him based upon our willingness. Amen. Whether we choose to or not. Praise God. Pay attention. Whether we choose to or not. That is the position we're in right now. It's up to you and I. We can do this if we want to, or if we choose not to, we don't have to. Praise God. So you think about that. He said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. The man or the woman whom he chooses and causes. So I say it's an honor to be here. Because He's extended that invitation, so here we are. We're here sitting in the house of God. We're here entreating His Spirit. We're here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But you notice this. This invitation comes. God always leaves room for you to decide.
Right. Amen.
For you to exercise the ability to say, okay, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to live for You. I want to be a child of God. That's up to you. Nobody else can determine that but you yourself.
Right.
So if you want to be a child of God, you can be a child of God just because you want to.
Right.
Not because you have to.
Right.
I hope you're not here because you feel in your heart you have to be here. I hope you're here because you felt it in your heart you want to be here.
Yeah.
It's a choice you made. Something that you determined when you made that decision. Amen. I was sharing, you know, my heart with my wife a few days ago, maybe a week ago, and I said, you know what? I said, I get weary when it comes to people coming to the Lord because I don't like baptizing people when you baptize them. And guess what? When you explain baptism, you explain repentance, you go through the whole spiel about salvation, and they sit there and they go, yes, I understand, I understand. But when you baptize them, guess what happens? So who's that on? Is it on me or is it on them? And I feel responsible. I'm the person that baptized in Jesus' name. I said, so the question, I said, you know what, I need to maybe be more specific and more, and the question I should ask, how much do you really want to live for God?
Right.
Amen.
From this point on in your life, how much do you really want to live for God? Because from that point on, your life is going to change drastically. So if you want to live for God, you need to make that decision. It's not what if.
Right.
Reason why I went verse number 1, I was just going to read verse number 4, but I was led to verse number 1 by the Spirit of the Lord, and because look what He says, praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, unto thee shall the vow be performed.
Right. Amen.
So when we make a vow to live for Him, when we make a vow to live for Him, the Bible says, hey, if we make a vow, we better keep that vow.
Amen.
So when we make a vow to live for Him, unto thee shall the vow be performed. Did you know that salvation, and I'll say it this way, salvation really doesn't come easy. You know that. I'm just being, hey, this is Bible study, so I guess I can just be as totally open, as frank as We're talking about God. We're talking about our salvation. We're talking about our soul. We're talking about our eternal destiny. So let's put everything out on the table. Praise God. Put all your cards out on the table, so to speak. Amen. So salvation isn't easy, because how many of you can honestly say, since you received the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name, everything has been a bed of roses? Have you encountered some?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Encountered whatever it is that comes your way.
Yes.
Huh?
Amen.
Things that you don't like. Things that make you feel uncomfortable.
That's right.
Things that are, you know, wearisome. Kind of take you out of your comfort zone. So when you made that decision to live for God, guess what? All hell broke loose.
Right.
You know why? Because the devil doesn't want you living for God. He just assumed you turn your back on him, on God.
Amen.
So salvation, if I want to say it this way, takes some effort.
Amen.
Amen.
It will take some effort.
That's right.
On our part, it's going to take some motivation.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, today we have people that are what they call those coaches. What do they call them?
Life coach.
You know what? You need to be your own life coach.
Wow. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Be like what the Bible said about David. He encouraged himself in the Lord.
Amen.
If you feel like nobody's there encouraging you, encourage yourself.
Amen.
Motivate. Get motivated and motivate yourself to live for God. Especially when nobody else is living for God. Because you're going to find out that happens, boy, and you put your trust in somebody, you say, oh man, what's wrong with them? Well, guess what? If they don't want to live for God, I'll live for God.
Right.
Amen.
Encourage yourself.
Amen.
So you're going to find out it's going to take some motivation. Philippians chapter 2, and you'll see this in Philippians chapter 2, and what the Apostle Paul said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Look what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
Work it out. Work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to. You have to.
Amen.
It's not going to come easy.
Amen.
And if you're waiting on God,
amen,
guess what? God wants to see you. God wants to hear you. God wants to see you taking that step. So we work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. In other words, we're going to take note, and we're going to see how serious this is. You ever notice that a couple with what he's saying here, Paul often referred to it as far as us seeking God. You know, he said fervently.
Right.
So in other words, earnestly. So what does that mean? It means that we're not in a position where we're going to be relaxed concerning our soul, because we have to motivate ourselves. We have to be fervent. We've got to be earnest.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
You know why? Because the devil will take advantage of you.
Amen.
If you become complacent, if you become idle.
Yep. Yep.
Let me say this. You can tell when people are being tormented. You know, the reason why you're being tormented is because you're idle. You're not doing anything. You're allowing yourself to be in. If you're not making any kind of motion or you're moving, you're an easy target.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
So in order for you to make sure the devil doesn't plant one of his darts in you, move around.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Be active. Amen.
Praise God. So we see that, okay? For it is God which worketh in you, both, verse number 13, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Don't complain, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
Amen.
Think about that. Think about that. Something that we definitely need to consider. Paul said this in Romans 6, verse 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid.
Right.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? This misunderstanding of grace.
Right.
People misunderstand grace. Unmerited favor. In other words, people just want to tend to take that and say, well, it's okay. Because the Bible says where sin abound, grace much more did abound. But that's not what it means. It's not meaning that we are to, you know, live in that life of sin, even after we have known Christ. We're supposed to be dead to sin.
Right.
And so here's where grace comes in. Here's where grace comes in. Grace comes in when the Lord reveals his word to us. We see it and we go, okay, his word is truth. And so he reveals it to us. He shines his light in where we could understand. But yet here's grace. That's not being saved. You're just coming to an understanding. And then when you say, Lord, I know this. I know I'm a sinful person. I'm a sinful creature. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm undone. So you know what we do? And if we felt it in our hearts, if we came by repentance and saying to ourselves, you know, Lord, I want to confess to you. I want to confess my sins. I want to put my sins under your blood. So you felt sincerity in your confession of your sins. So you asked God to forgive you. So what happens? You felt that burden lift from you. You felt the weight of the sin come up because you confessed it.
Right.
Lord, forgive me. So you felt the goodness of God. Guess what? That's not being saved. That's only part of it. That's not really grace. Because you know what grace is? Grace is where he imparts his spirit. And he fills us with his spirit. He's given us an advantage because by grace are ye saved. That's what he said. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Grace is. What is grace? The infilling of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
The Spirit of grace.
Amen.
So we receive grace. We receive that unmerited faith. Let me tell you something. Here's the thing. A lot of people want to believe this. They're saved because they plead the blood. Lord, I want you to forgive me, and I'm pleading the blood. I want you to wash away my sins. And you know what? He will. He's just and faithful to forgive you of your sins. But that's not all part of it. Because you just got your sins washed away. You know what you need to be next? Sanctified.
Yes.
And so you're sanctified in the name of Jesus Christ and by his Spirit. You're sanctified.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's important for you to understand. It's important for you to understand. What if? That's that part. That's the part. It seems like our minds are always focused on that part. What if?
Right.
What if I choose not to? Be honest with yourselves. Human nature wants to resist God. Human nature. The carnal man, well, as the Bible say, receives not the things that are of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. The carnal man, that's us, our carnal nature, doesn't want to have anything to do with God. So that's why it's based upon our willingness, our will to say, okay, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to obey you. I want to submit myself to you. That's why it takes that. So amen. So that's what happens to us. So we're given that ability. We're allowed that ability to make that choice ourselves. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. Look what he says. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, let's remember about these promises. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, all the promises of God are yea and not nay. They are yea and amen. In other words, we might as well just receive it for what it says. All the promises of God are a certainty. God will fulfill his promises to you and I as he promised. So whatever promises that you can find in the scripture, that's what God has given to you. All the promises. He didn't say some. He said all the promises of God are yea. In other words, all his promises are yea. In other words, they're absolute. Ooh, people are afraid to say that.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Yep.
Here's something. You never read after those scriptures. There's no disclosure there. In other words, they're certain.
Right.
That's you know why? Because God is not a liar.
Right.
Is everybody listening?
Yes.
God is not a liar.
Amen.
Amen. So all his promises are certain. So that's what he says. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now look what he says. Ye might be. There's that possibility.
Right. That's right.
That possibility is not God.
Right. That's right. It's not God. Amen. That's right.
That what if is not God.
Amen. That's right. That's
true. Are you listening?
Yes. Amen.
That what if is you.
Amen.
It hinges on your will. It hinges on your heart. It hinges on what you want to do. If you really want to choose to say, I want to follow the Lord Jesus. I want to obey him. I want to humble myself to him. I want to submit my will to his will. That's what it's all about. If you're having a hard time, a difficult time understanding it, that's what it's all about. Submitting yourself, your will to his will. That's why Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done.
Amen.
He submitted his will
Amen.
To the Father's will.
Amen.
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 So here's the what if. That by these ye might be. There's that probability. There's that possibility that, guess what the Lord says? Hey, because I know human nature. I know human nature. I battle sometimes with this thought. I battle with this thought that, Lord, why is it? Some people just can't simply believe in miracles.
Right.
Amen. Or in healings.
Amen. Right.
Or deliverance.
Amen.
Why is it? When the promise is great.
Right.
Amen.
When the potential is great for you and I to believe. Mm-hmm. But you know what it is? We could probably blame it on sin. We could probably blame it on the devil. But sometimes it's us. It's where we are right here.
Amen.
It's our mind. It's our opinion. You know why some of you can't receive the Holy Ghost? You know why you can't pray too?
Right. Amen.
Woo.
Amen. That's the truth. Right. Amen.
You know why you can't receive healing? Because you don't believe.
Right.
Wow. Amen.
And I say this because I have witnessed. I would never believe God could heal miraculously. Unless I seen it.
Right.
I seen it. And I'm talking about miraculous healings.
Amen.
Unbelievable.
Amen.
And I seen it. I've seen blinded eyes open.
Amen.
I've seen the lame walk. I've seen the deaf hear. I've seen the dumb talk.
Right.
I've seen it. I've witnessed it. So I know it's true. So I say to myself, Lord, why is it when we have that promise in the scripture? But what is it about us?
Amen.
Obviously, we have reverted back to that praise God.
Amen. It's the truth. Amen.
And so, you know, we're talking about revival. We're talking about getting ready for revival. We wonder, and God says, oh man, I want to give you revival. But I want to give you the kind of revival I want to give you.
Right.
Not the kind that you want.
Amen.
Right.
Right.
Woo.
That's right.
Because, Amen. Man, the Lord would thoroughly every stone will be uncovered.
Amen. That's right.
Woo.
Amen.
We're kind of, oh.
Amen.
I had to chuckle. This is years ago. Brother Hancock came to preach for us in our camp meeting in Wagner. I think that was 97, 98, somewhere around there. The last camp meeting we had. Man, God, at the onset, of course, his ministry is like that. He just, praise God. You just see the Lord use him. He just, I mean, I certainly don't exaggerate when I say that. But man, God uses that man mightily. It's just like you can expect miracles to happen when Brother Hancock's around because God used he's just so, how would I say, submissive and led of the Spirit. I mean, God starts to use him, and man, you see miracles happen. You see people getting the Holy Ghost, you see people getting delivered, you see people getting healed.
Amen.
It's just like to him, and I was just amazed because to him it's just like a, you know, it's his ministry, so he just operates in the capacity. And that anointing, so it happens. I mean, every time, every service,
right.
There's not a service that it doesn't happen. Just boom, it's just like that. You see things happen, and of course, God using him to, you know, minister to people and the gifts of the Spirit. And so here's the funny thing: we were sitting there in the break between the afternoon service and the evening service, and Brother Hancock likes to drink tea, so we were sitting back in the table, way in the corner of the army there in Wagner. And we were just enjoying ourselves. I was having coffee. He was drinking his tea. We're sitting. We're watching people come in. But I noticed something. I noticed something about when Brother Hancock showed up and he was around. People didn't want to come. And people didn't want to shake his hand.
Yeah.
Even people I thought were prayed up. It's just like. And they were avoiding him. I was thinking, what in the world? What's? And then the thought occurred to me. You know what? Because they're afraid God will use him to talk to them. Because obviously they must have some things.
Wow.
Then it hit me. I thought, oh, okay. Okay. I understand now. I understand how it is, you know. But why, people of God, why do we fear?
Amen. Why?
Why are we afraid?
Amen.
Especially when it comes to our own, whatever they are, our sins. Ooh.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Our own personal issues.
Amen.
Why is it? When God says, you know what, I want to take care of you, I want to deliver you, I want to save you, I want to heal you, all you have to do is understand that I want to help you with that. And so that's why he said that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature, but that by these ye might be partakers. Partakers. In other words, that you can receive whatever it is God is getting ready to bestow upon us, to give us. You can receive it. You can be partakers of the divine nature. Go with me to Romans. I'm just gonna kind of go this direction. Just for a moment here. Just to show you something. Amen. And in Romans chapter 1. And look what it says here. Where is it? Verse number 11. Romans chapter 1. And look what Paul says there. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established." So Paul says here, hey, I want to see you. I want to see you because I want to impart to you a spiritual gift. Woo! A spiritual gift. God has something. Obviously, Paul said that. He wants to impart to you a spiritual gift. He has something that he wants to give you. He wants to bestow upon you. So you think about that. You think about that. So, you know, how much do we really want God to do something? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. The first part of that scripture. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? Ooh. You know what? I've been in the ministry for a long time. I've been here a few years. I never understood. Of course, when I was younger, as a young follower, as a young minister, I never really understood. I here's the thing about me, saints, and I'm just being an open book to you. But I was pretty naive. I believed everything that the Word of God said. I was naive. And my faith, you know, so I would just conduct myself as such, and I would just believe God would do things. And because of my naivety, God did things. Because I just believed that it could happen. That's how simple my thinking was. And we've seen it happen. So that's what, you know, it did something to me. It was just like, and then concerning the people of God, the saints of God, it was just like, man, I wanted everybody to be saved. Right. I wanted everybody to make it into the kingdom of heaven. I wanted everybody to be happy. I wanted everybody to be joyful and full of the peace of God, the love of God. I wanted everybody to experience what I was so naive. I said, wow, and if they all feel what I'm feeling, that's just going to be the outcome. It's going to be what they really, you know, what they're looking for. But guess what? Not everybody. Not everybody. It's a sad statement of truth. Not everybody.
That's right. Amen.
Because the Bible says this in Matthew 22:14 and other places. It says, "For many are called,
yes,
but few chosen."
Right.
But if you are chosen, you can be called. But what's going to make up that part where you're chosen? It's going to be you.
Yes.
Right.
If you are going to be chosen, it's going to be because you want to be chosen.
Yes.
It's going to be because you want to live for God.
Yes.
It's going to be because you want to. Yes. Amen. Follow.
Amen. Yes. Amen. That's it. Amen. Woo. Amen. That's it. Amen.
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 Man, you know, I fell in love with the Lord when I got the Holy Ghost. That a lot of things that I did when I was younger, I just quit doing them, all because I love the Lord. I mean, I did. Brother Aaron can tell you that. Brother Aaron was the same way. A lot of things we love to do, hey, guess what? After we found the Lord, we didn't do them no more. That's how drastic our change was, our life change. That's how drastic it was. We just, people say, hey, what's the matter with you? How come you don't do that no more? Oh, because I don't have an interest in it. I just choose not to. Well, that's being pretty drastic. Well, yes, it is.
Amen.
So that was my mindset. That I just wanted to, man, how many of you heard this statement? Head over heels.
Right.
How would you define head over heel? Any of you ladies have an idea? Yeah. Oh, I'm head over heels in love with him.
Right.
What does that mean? Or do any of your brethren have any idea what that means? Sister Dina? Yeah.
I was waiting for that.
Praise God. Head over heels. Head over. All you young sisters. Just want to make sure it's love,
right.
And not obsession.
Can I offer something? It's when you head over in heels in love with somebody, this is just me, my definition. It would be whatever you do is for the other person's benefit. Amen.
There you go. That's what, that, you know, the Bible talks about. I don't want to get detoured here, but. That when the Bible talks about a helpmeet, one good thing is it's a compliment. A helpmeet is going to be a compliment. In other words, they're going to. That's what they're going to do. They're going to compliment you. They're not. In a sense, they're not going to say, "Oh, you're handsome. Are you beautiful?" That's not what it means. What they do is going to compliment you. It's going to sustain you. It's going to keep you. They're going to be there to take care of you.
Yes. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Amen. I didn't mean to put any of you in that. Praise God. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's the reality of it. I'm just being.
Yes. Amen.
Luke 13. And verse number, I think it's 23, it says, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter into the straight gate.
Yes.
For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, please don't say, Pastor was a Debbie Downer this morning. this is the reality.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. This is the reality of it. Because a lot of people get so overcome with that false idea that everything's going to be a bed of roses when it's not. And so when they face temptation, guess what happens? They say, it's not supposed to be like this. When they face adversity, it's not supposed to be like this. When they go through trials and tribulation, it's not supposed to be like this. But here's the thing. If we really desire to live for God, we're going to do what's necessary to ensure that we are going to live for Him. So that's why Jesus said this. Who can be saved? Are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive. This was his answer. Strive. To enter into the straight gate. Strive. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able.
Right. Amen.
So here's the thing. The word strive, that means that we've got to go beyond ourselves. We've got to exert some kind of motion, physical force, positioning. It's not going to happen if we just stand back, if we stand still, or even if we sit. It's not going to happen that way. It's going to be because we are going to strive. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That's why this everything that we do here, that's why it should be, everything that we do has a purpose. It should be meaningful, everything we do here. And I know this, most of the time, probably almost every time the doors open, every time service day comes along, guess what? We're battling.
Yep.
We're battling to come to the house of God.
Amen.
The devil wants you to stay home.
Amen.
But here you are. Because you want to strive to enter into that gate.
Right.
You want to make heaven your home. You're not going to let the devil keep you back.
Amen.
And even to get to the house of God. Woo!
Amen.
Even to get to the house of God. There's a lot of things going on in here. A lot of movement.
Right.
Things we got to face. Things we got to face when we come into the house of God. How many of you ever asked this question to yourself? I wonder what's in store.
Right. That's right.
I wonder what's in store. When I go into the house, you know what the Bible says about the house of God? It's a storehouse.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Yep. Beyond our imagination. Wow. That's right. Yep.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes I think you guys are just not with me.
Right.
Or you don't understand.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
I only say it because of my understanding of God's word. I'm just reacting to God's word and my understanding. That's what I understand. So that's the reason why I get so hyped up and wacko, or whatever you want to call it. Because I know our potential. I know what God is able to do. I just like,
amen.
And if we could ever line up, have that line of sight, man, the Lord would just blow this place wide open. But we deal with things when we come to the house of God. Think about it. Even when you come to the house of God and you're present in the house of God, you deal with things. You sit there in your seat and you deal with things. God is speaking to you. God is dealing with you. He's dealing with your spirit. He's dealing with your carnal nature. But he's dealing with us. You know what? I'm glad God is dealing with me. What about you?
Yes.
I'm glad we can come to this place and he can deal with us.
Yes.
He can speak
Amen.
To us. We can
yes.
feel
yes.
conviction.
Amen.
We can feel the fear of God. We know what it's like.
Amen.
Peter said that. 1 Peter 4:17-18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God.
Right.
And if it first began at us, has to begin here. Judgment has to begin here. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Woo! So he gives us an opportunity right now. And then he says, now here's that what if again. And if The righteous scarcely be saved. Woo!
Right.
That, you know, I'll be honest
That's
with you. That puts the fear of God in me.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
That's Amen. Disturbing. He said, if the righteous scarcely be saved.
Wow.
Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And here we are. We're going at it. We're doing our best. Woo! And you know, that if is this. That's the if pertains to when you turn your back on God. When you refuse to participate. When you refuse to respond, to react to God's word. That's what that if means. I often wonder, like we said earlier, for many are called, but few are chosen. I often wonder about some people. I know God gave them an opportunity. We have people come in here, and you know what? They got the Holy Ghost. First service in here, got the Holy Ghost. Some people got healed, just like that, boom. But you know what? They never came back.
Right.
So I always question that. Lord, why is that? And it's like the Lord said, because I wanted to prove myself. I wanted to show myself to them. So that they can see how real I am. There's going to be no excuse for them on Judgment Day. You walked into Livingstone Apostolic Church and got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You walked in and received healing.
That's right.
But you turned your back on me.
Right.
Amen. There's that potential. All you young men, sometimes my wife will kind of go back and retrieve some pictures from the old days. We laugh at them. I say, wow, no wonder God saved me. I needed help. Look like a renegade Indian. Some pictures I look like a renegade Mexican. I was in need. Great need. And I say to myself, wow. Boy, was I lost and undone. Kind of chuckle at it. But you go back and you see those, you experience those moments. And I say, I thank God he saved me. I thank God he came in. So here's the thing. If God could do that for me, let me tell you something. I remember my high school days. You know, I love playing basketball. I love playing baseball and cross country and all that kind of stuff. I love doing that. But I always remember when I was a senior, it was my turn. They called on me to give a speech at the pep rally, and there I was. And so they told me, Harold, this you're one of the seniors, so you're going to have to go out there. And I said, nope. You're not getting me out there in front of that crowd. Boy, they had to do a lot of egging on, so I finally went out there. I said, let's go. The only thing I said is, go Tigers! So I was tingling. That was it. You couldn't get me to stand in front of a crowd. There were a lot of things you couldn't get me to do. That was just my nature. Let me talk to you, young men. You think that you're not able to. You think that you don't have a testimony. You think that you don't have it in you, but when God changes your life, and does for you, for each and every one of us. And here, I have to eat my words. I will never get married and I will never become a preacher. But I'm glad he saved me.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, verse number 46 and 47, and we're done. Look at this model of the early church. In verse number 46 in chapter 2, it says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Wow, talk about a tight-knit group. Look what it says. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Now look what he says. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Woo! So here's the reality of the statement. Not everybody's going to be saved.
Right. Amen. That's right.
But I don't know about you. I want to be saved.
Amen.
I want to make heaven my home. Thank you very much for your patience. Break time. We'll see you on the other side of break.
Just north of Boston. Where I live.